Turn to Galatians 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. Everyone say, I'm entering a new dimension. Yes. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Galatians 5 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Glory to God. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, this persuasion or this influence is from outer darkness or worldliness. It's from satanic kingdom of the unseen realm. So everybody got it. In other words, the person was running good. Then all of a sudden, they change. They're not obeying the truth, even though they think they are. Because deception is Satan's greatest weapon, and his power is fear. And verse 10, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. Why? Because this persuasion is manipulating and activating the carnal mind. Has everybody got this? And remember that the carnal mind is associated with the flesh, and it's associated with the human precepts in an individual's life. So what they think about is themselves. Has everybody got it? It promotes self. Remember, the satanic kingdom is always out to promote self. Amen? Because sin is a self-imposed nature, isn't it? So they always try to bring you to you.
Oh, what about me? Oh, it's all about me. Well, woe is me.
Why do you think people, listen, offense is associated with a live person. Dead people don't get offended. Amen? So in this persuasion that comes from the unseen realm, from the satanic kingdom, it's out to promote flesh with our human precepts of individuals to rebel against the righteousness of Christ. It is to rebel against the righteousness of Christ. This is where people falter because they begin to look at themselves in goodness and they lose sight of righteousness. Hallelujah. And verse 10 again. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty or freedom. And we know that freedom is learned. Only do not use this freedom or liberty as an opportunity to promote the flesh or open a door to the satanic realm that influences the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. You know, it takes humbleness to serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Again, this persuasion or influence is from outer darkness. It is known as the satanic kingdom or worldliness, because the world is considered outer darkness. It is the physical outer darkness, and the spiritual outer darkness is Satan's kingdom and eventually hell. And its purpose is to influence us to promote the flesh or rely on the human precepts so that individuals begin to rebel against the righteousness of Christ. Matthew 12, and verse 43. In verse 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, hello, In other words, when an unclean spirit finally leaves you, it says he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes and finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Hello. He then goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first, so it is also with this wicked generation. I want you to understand something. Unclean spirits come back to entice you to fellowship or open their voice to promote self. Has everybody got it? Listen, these spirits that left you are what come back and tempt you. Has everybody got it? These spirits, everyone say, the spirits that have left me come back to tempt me. They are familiar with you. They know you. They've lived in you for a long time. They know exactly how to trigger you. They know how to exactly how to deceive you. They know how to exactly how to trip you up so that self is promoted. Unclean spirits come back to entice you or to cause you to fellowship, and they bring this about with their voice. Their voice to promote self. Again, it promotes the self-imposed nature, which is called sin, because it brings you to you. And its fruit is rebellion. Why? Because it is rebellious to the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ is life. The Spirit of Christ is what? Life. Remember, these spirits that have left you come back to tempt you. And sometimes, even if one is trying to, you know, you're going through deliverance and healing and so forth, man, those spirits' heads come to the top. The devil knows exactly what God is doing. Do you understand that? He sees it. He knows you're getting ready to get freed up, so he does everything he can to cause you to lose focus and bring focus to you. He brings focus to you. Listen, me, myself, and I is a trinity of Satan. Me, myself, and I. It's all about me. That is how humans live. Humans live in the arena of self. Those are human precepts. Humans that live in self die. We are no longer a humanite, we are an eternal light. So we don't longer live or associate with self. God doesn't even fellowship with self because he knows it's the offspring of Satan. So Satan tries to bring self alive again. And when he does that, it moves us out of the spirit. And I can tell you who shows up first, a familiar spirit, because he always wants to imitate the Holy Spirit. And then what he does is he promotes justification, reasoning, and compromise. He justifies why you're working in the flesh. He justifies why you're offended. He reasons with you what to do. And he guides you in the path of compromise. He is not an idiot. The Bible says that the serpent is the most cunning beast God created. He'll outwit you in a second.
Yeah, but I'm spirit-filled.
But are you in the spirit? Listen, being spirit-filled doesn't mean you have dominion over everything. It means it's available. Are you listening? It means that you must cooperate. If you're not under authority, you have none. You must be submitting to authority, don't you? That's why the Bible says submit to God, then you can resist the devil. But if you're focused on you, how can you submit to God? The only thing you're submitting to is self. Go to James 1 in verse 12. Blessed, everyone say blessed, is the man who endures temptation. In other words, now where did that temptation come from? A spirit that left you. He's trying to re-access, amen? He's trying to activate the old man again. Why? Because then he can have access and he's looking for a meal. Do you know that fear promotes an emotion? How about offense? How about bitterness? How about unforgiveness? All of these things promote an emotion, and these spirits get fed by emotion. So they've actually come back to the candy machine, you know? And so they're pushing the button to try and trigger to get something, aren't they? They're trying to get fed. But it says here, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. The crown of life. Why? Because the enemy is trying to remove the old life. I mean, he's trying to remove the new life and promote the old life. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say he is tempted. When he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his what? Own desires and enticed. Well, where are these desires coming from? From the spirits that have left before. Because they know your desires, don't they? Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to what? Sin. Now, what is sin again? Self-imposed nature. That's the old man. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So to live out of the spirit is death. Do you understand that? Because living in the flesh is death. Do not be deceived, my beloved, my brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Now, you know, there are good gifts from God. And I want you to know, and I've shared this before, I said gifts from God. God's gifts never cause stumbling. There's no attachments to the gifts of God. Are you listening? The only that he releases his promises and gifts. He says, if you do my will, I release the promise. It's real simple. There's no attachments. You know, I get a lot of people telling, oh, yeah, the Lord bless me. Bless me with this or bless me with that when I put them in debt. That's not God. God does not put you in debt. Hello. Now, verse 18 is very important. Out of his own will, he brought us forth by the what? Word of what? Truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Does everybody see this? So, this is very powerful because temptation is a return of evil spirits to attach themselves or re-enter into what they call home, which is you. But you are brought forth by the word of truth and given a new life. Everyone say new life. Now, who wants to take that new life? That's his job, isn't it? He comes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Go to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. In verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is what? Forgiven. That means that person repented. Blessed, verse 2. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord does not what? Impute iniquity or a curse. And whose spirit there is no what? Deceit or deception. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For night and day your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. In other words, they became dry. See, when the enemy gets you into a place where the self-imposed nature is established, you become dry because he just drained you. What he does is he drains you from life, which is the new life, and he promotes the old life. And that's where discouragement, mistrust, fear. Then we begin to look for life in the world. But there is no life in the world but death. Until we repent and get back in line. He said in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. In other words, I acknowledge that I've associated with the presence of evil, and I express that now I have a curse. And I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. In other words, my acts of fellowship with evil, I will confess to the Lord. And you forgave, or you removed the iniquity. In other words, you removed the curse of my sin, of my fellowship with the presence of evil that promoted a self-imposed nature. He removed it. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in time when you may be found. Surely in the flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my what? Hiding place. In other words, because the individual has turned and repented, God now brings them into the hiding place called the tabernacle. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. And then he responds to them. He says, the Lord says, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way you should go. Why? Because where are they at? In the tabernacle. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. He said, many sorrows will be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. In other words, please understand this. The person repented, didn't they? Amen? They were washed by the blood, weren't they? But there's something that you must understand. The blood did not prevent us or prevent a person from temptation. The blood does not prevent you from temptation. Amen? But the blood covered the sin and removed the scar. With the what? Confession of repentance. It removes it. He forgave the repentance of association was confessed in the area where there was association with the evil presence that promotes sin, self-imposed nature. Here the Lord is speaking of the tabernacle and its chambers again. Remember, this is the place you and I live now. This is where we live, in the tabernacle. We no longer live in outer darkness. We live in the tabernacle. The outer darkness is the world. But the outer darkness and the world is trying to influence us to come back into the outer darkness and lose the new life and live in the old life. Go to Psalm 19. Hallelujah. So the blood, again, does not protect you from temptation. Psalm 19, verse 1. Let's speak the first six verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters what? Speech. Is that his word? Yes. And night unto night reveals knowledge. Is that his word? Yes. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words of the end of the world. In them he has set a what? A tabernacle for the sun. Now, he's using the physical to express the spiritual. Where does the sun of God, where does the bridegroom? Look at verse 5. Which is like a what? Bridegroom coming out of his what? Chamber and rejoices like a what? strong man to run its what? Race. So, what chamber does the bridegroom dwell? The most holy place. The bridegroom dwells in the most holy place. So again, he shares with us the chambers of the tabernacle. He says, its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Again, the bridegroom's chamber is in the most holy place. The speech is known as his word, which is known as his holy place. So everybody got it? Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And where is the blood? In the chambers, the outer court. So the blood is in the outer court, right? His word is in the holy place, and the bridegroom is in the most holy place. In Psalm 119, in verse 9, is everybody there? Let's speak it. How can a young man cleanse his what? His way. By taking heed according to your what? According to your word. So that's how he cleanses his way, isn't it? But the word, listen, the word does not protect you from temptation. Has everybody got it? The blood does not protect you from temptation. But the word allows you to know that temptation is there. In verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. But he's saying that, looking, the word will acknowledge that temptation is there, but it cannot prevent you from being tempted. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your what? Statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Again, word does not protect you from temptation, but can assist you to know that it is there. So everybody got this? John 14. New life. Everyone say new life. How many all how many people have known the word of God? Man, they can quote scriptures left and right, but they get overtaken by temptation, don't they? And they know that temptation is there, but they don't overcome it. Oh, hallelujah. John 14, verse 6. And what did Jesus say to them? I am the what? Way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Again, here is the tabernacle. Here are the chambers. They are called the way, the truth, and the life. The way is the blood, the truth is the word, and the life is the spirit. The way is the blood, the truth is the word, and the life is the spirit. Because to maintain new life, you must live in the spirit. So what's the enemy trying to do? Get you out of the spirit. So if you're walking in the spirit, it's like walking with both feet in the spirit, okay? So what the enemy tries to do is to tempt you, to entice you. Now, he can only attack you from the past. You understand that? It's the spirit that came out of you before that comes back to tempt you. So he's trying to get you in the area where he's promoting self. He tries to use somebody else or something else in your life to bring discouragement or offense or whatever it may be to cause you to come to you, which will cause dullness of hearing. That means one foot has been taken out of the most holy place. It's been taken out of the spirit. Then what he tries to do, he continues to bombard you so that both feet come out, and now your heart is hardened. And now you're in rebellion. Until something happens. Do you know, there's times when God allows us to fail terribly. He wants us to fail terribly sometimes. He allows it to happen. Why? To get you back in line. One of the things he wants you to realize is that you cannot rely on you. The only thing you can rely on is him. Has everybody got it? He allows us to fail. The Bible even says that a righteous person may fall many times, but the Lord picks him up. So there's times when God allows you to fail. Because he gets your attention. And lets you realize that you can't make it on your own. That's why the Bible says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Amen? So in this life is established, a new life is maintained only in the Spirit. That's it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, is everybody there? In verse 4. For we have such trust through who? Christ, the anointing toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Do you grab hold of this? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Remember, God is trying to get us to the place that we no longer see ourselves, we see him. He's trying to get us to the place that the only thing he sees in you and me is him. In works, in deeds, in life, in character. He is not looking for me and you. He's looking for him. He's only wanting to see him. That's why he sent Jesus as the example. And what did Jesus say? I did not come in my own doctrine. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. And everything I do pleases him. He says, I am. In other words, you are. I am now because he is. I am. Because he is. Why? Because I'm eternal. I'm no longer human, even though I have a human body. I'm eternal. So human precepts should not be a part of my life, even though I'm living in an arena. Human precepts are to be used by my spirit now, but not to promote flesh, to maintain in this realm. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. So God is really trying to bring us to the end of us. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives what? So what gives life? The Spirit. So if you're not in the Spirit, are you maintaining life? No. No. The Spirit gives life. Now listen. I want you to grab this right now. I want you to say after me, this is not a life change. It's a life exchange. This is not a life change. This is a life exchange. Galatians 5, in verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. I say then what? Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hello. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So you do not do the things that you wish or that you maybe been enticed on or tempted on. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because everything that is associated with the flesh is associated with self. And you can, self does not inherit the kingdom of God. The only thing self inherits is hell. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. In other words, we have control over self, dominion. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, read it. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. In other words, a new life is in the Spirit. Now listen. God will not repair us. Now he heals us. Does everybody understand that? That's different. He is not going to repair us, nor does he improve us. The only thing he can do is crucify us. Does everybody get it? The only thing that God requires, the only thing he can do for me and you, in associated with self, he doesn't repair self, he doesn't improve self, he crucifies it. That's it. Lord, change me. He's not going to change you. What he does is cause you to cooperate to exchange. He's changing you by exchanging. Has everybody got it? He has no interest in the life of the flesh or the life of self. None. He doesn't cooperate with it nor communicate with it until it cries out for repentance so that new life is established. Again, he doesn't repair the self, he doesn't improve the self, and he doesn't change the self. He crucifies it. That's it. Amen? He can only crucify us to live in the Spirit of new life. Now, living in the Spirit is living from the future. Come on, say it with me. Living in the Spirit is living from the future. You are not looking to the future, you're living from the future. Oh, dear God, I hope everybody grabs this. You are not living, listen, you are living from the future. Has everybody got it? You are not living past looking to the future, you're living from the future if you are truly living in the Spirit. Hello? So, even though we look up, that's cool. I mean, that's all right. But in reality, when you're in battle, you should be looking down. God is not asking you to ask him. He's telling you to tell them. Because you are looking, you are living from the future, not from the past. So there's a place that we must grab hold of in the area of being crucified in Romans 6. Now, because we're living in the Spirit and we are living from the future, that's called faith. Now, so many times, so many times we quote scriptures and so forth in faith, and because it's not happening, then we lose faith. But I want you to begin to look at something, because if you live in the future, the things that you speak must catch up to you. Come on, grab all of this today. It's going to change your life. So when you speak things of faith, just because you didn't get healed yet, it means that everything around you must catch up to you. You don't catch up to it, or it brings you to the past. Everything around you, all environment, everything catches up to you. You don't catch up to it, or you're going back in the past. If you're living in the future, which is truly living in the spirit. It's catching up to who? Everything around you. But I've been praying for finances. That's why it's going to come, because it must catch up to you. But I'm praying for healing. It's going to come because it's got to catch up to you if you're living in the future. You are not to go to the healing comes to you. You are not to go to the prosperity comes to you. Because you are living in the future. You're not living in the past. If you're truly living in the spirit, then you're living in faith. And what you speak is going to come to you. You don't go to it. Romans 6:7. Is everybody there? Lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. We need to swallow this. We need to wash it down with some spirit right now. Romans 6:7. Is everybody there? Awesome. Speak this. For he who has died has been freed from the self-imposed nature, if you are dead. Now, listen, people look in the future as death, don't they? But we're from the future, so we should be dead already. Amen? If we're really in the spirit. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's now. That's not in the future, because you're in the future. So you're already living with him. The Bible says you're blessed with every spiritual blessing, and you're seated in heavenly places. So you're already in the future. The only thing that keeps you here is the carnal mind. Glory. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died for sin once for all. In other words, sin is the self-imposed nature. In other words, he exchanged the self-imposed nature for the eternal divine nature. Remember, God does not change your life. He exchanges it. But the life that he lives to God. Come on, verse 11. Everybody speak this out with me. Likewise, you also what? Reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, and that you should obey its what? Lusts. Now, oh hallelujah, let's go on. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Now, we must begin to reckon ourselves dead because we are from the future. Reckon means to recognize, acknowledge. Seeing yourself as dead to sin. In other words, we are now at a place where we must relinquish all carnal security.
What about my education?
Relinquish it. What about all my talents and ability? Relinquish it. Anything that is carnal security to me and you, we must relinquish so we maintain dead. Anything that is security to you, promotes self. And it moves you out of the future into the past. Now, to relinquish all carnal security. Now listen to this, which is to remove the life of Adam. We are going to remove the life of Adam. Why? Adam had to die. It was his rescue. We are to remove the life of Adam in exchange for the life of Christ. Has everybody got it? That's a whole nother thing. I'm not going there. Galatians 2. Living in the Spirit is living from the future, and it is living in faith. And the things that you are requesting now, you don't go to, it will catch up to you. Because it is faith, and you are in the future. So, again, humans look at the future as dying. But because we are from the future, we must reckon ourselves dead already. So that the life of Adam is dead, exchanged for the life of Christ. Galatians 2. Hallelujah. In verse 19. Let's start at verse 17. Is everybody there? But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a what? In other words, if I begin to build on the things of the past that I've been delivered from, I now become activated again in a self-imposed nature. And verse 19, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been what? Come on, everybody read this with me. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Why? Because I'm living from where? The future. Who loved me and gave himself for me. I did not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So the life of Christ is expressed, not suppressed. Listen, here's another thing. I want you to grab something. Because I live from the future, I no longer fight for victory. I fight from victory. Has everybody got it? I no longer fight for victory. I'm fighting from victory. So what I'm doing is I'm taking what I've already won. Why? Because he did it all, didn't he? When we fail, it's because we've been taken out of the Spirit. Our failures are because we're not reckoning and acknowledging ourselves from being from the future in Christ. We are still looking at ourselves as humanite, not eternal lights. We're still caught up. Listen, these things of feelings, experiences, and all the things of this realm cause you to come back into this realm. Some of them are false securities. Every carnal security will cause the promotion of self and move you into the past. And what happens then, you begin to build on those things again. I'm going to close in Romans 8. Everyone say, new life is established when I'm crucified. So that it's no longer I that live, that he that lives, as I reckon myself dead, because I'm from the future. Romans 8:31, I'm sorry, 8:31. Romans 8:31. Is everybody there? Glory. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Verse 31, let's speak it. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, man. Glory. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are what? More than conquerors through him who what? Loved us. You are more than a conqueror if you're living from the future. Because you're no longer fighting for victory, you're fighting from victory. Amen? So we are more than a conqueror. A conqueror, now listen, conquers for victory. Someone that's more than a conqueror conquers from victory. Amen? New life. This is what's been granted to me and you. But the enemy doesn't want you to know who you are because he fears you. Let this be a new beginning today and walk in a new life. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Seal this with the blood. Seal this with the blood of Christ, that it may grow and bear fruit for your glory. And Lord, let it be rooted in us, never to be stolen, but become a part of life eternal, that we may know who we are in Christ Jesus and where we are from. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.